blow for blow. Very Elegant ahead on a Dave. He's trying, but she's going to beat him. Very Elegant wins the Rambert.
All right, welcome to another edition of the B Set, and it's Tab Everest Eve. Ray Hickson here, Nick Burney. We're going to have a look at the Tab Everest, and we're also going to have a look at our best bets on the program. First of all, Nick, we'll kick off with fine weather outside, fine weather expected on Saturday, good four track, rail at 3 metres. What are we expecting?
I think the track's going to play really well, actually, Ray. 3 metre rail, yes, I think you could say it could be an advantage to those horses slightly up on speed, especially like handy areas when it's going to be a very fast track. But I think it's going to play really well. We've just been so lucky with this weather. I'm really keen to get stuck into this runner by runner because there's so many different angles you can have for this race.
Absolutely. Okay, well, all the talk this week has been about how the race is going to be run. Everyone expects Overpass to lead, and just about every other connection aside from those of Overpass have said they want someone to put pressure on him, but no one's sort of said who that's going to be at this point. So they're all gunning for something to take Overpass on and set the race up for whatever other horse. So how do you see that sort of first section of the race playing out?
Oh, well, I think you summed up with Overpass definitely leading. Look, I think they're going to go more of an even to a good even tempo. I think probably Overpass is more suited that way, where, look, it did have all favours last start going in a very slow tempo, but I think it is better, like the Quokka we saw when he led it a more genuine tempo.
He obviously didn't go quick enough in the shorts.
Yeah, but he was first up, so he probably needed it. Had a good trial, so he's got that base now where he can... I think he's going to go to good even tempo. Not fast, not nature strip fast, but good even.
Well, what puts pressure on him, or what potentially lands outside him? What do they do from barriers 10 and 11 on Hawaii 5-0 and Marzu? Does Alcohol Free have enough pace to put herself up there? We know she's got stamina because she's won over a mile.
Yep.
And where does the three-year-old Cylinder and the Golden Slipper winner Shinzo, where do they put themselves?
I think Cylinder's box seat for sure. If it jumped out in the Golden Rose, they didn't want to take up the lead. They clearly wanted to find cover. That didn't work out that day, but I think it would jump and just straight to the rail in behind Overpass. That's how I see it. Look, they could be outside leader if they want to be. I think the likes of Marzu and Alcohol Free, the rougher chances have to go forward. I think they will go forward. The interesting horse for me, probably not many people have spoken about in the speed map, I think Private Eye actually has really good gate speed. So I think Nashville Wheeler is going to have options with the likes of Marzu and Alcohol Free, Hawaii 5-0, or maybe being in that positive ridden early. And I think he can find a nice spot. As you said, Hawaii 5-0 in secret, they're probably not the best jumpers. So it'd be interesting to say they'll come out and have a look. But
Will Nash want something to go forward and give him a three wide trail from barrier 9, because he's unlikely to find the 1-1 position unless he goes back to like a one off position unless he goes right back. So is he going to hope that something like Hawaii 5-0 or Marzu pushes forward and gets stuck three wide?
Yeah, I think definitely. Okay. Especially Ramwick 1200 metres, if they are going good even, being three wide isn't the worst, so I wouldn't be surprised if there is a 3-1 line.
Okay, well, let's run through the field. $20 million Tab Everest. Number one is I Wish I Win, Luke Nolan and Peter Moody and Catherine Coleman. Barrier 1.
Yeah, barrier 1. That doesn't concern me. I know people are saying yes or no, but I think it's a good gate. What's wrong with barrier 1? I think he can just land midfield. His first out run of the Memsie, thought was really solid in a sit and sprint race shape. He came out to win, ran one of the fastest 600 to 200s of the day, and just clearly peaked on his run, gave out in condition. You know, you got the likes of Mr. Brightside, Alligator Blood. They've since subsequently went on to win Group 1s. So all the form's there. He's got that big figure that he ran in the TJ Smith. Obviously, that was on a heavy track, but if he gets back to that level... he's going to be awfully hard to beat.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion about barrier one. I think they would have preferred maybe 5 or 6.
Definitely.
But, you know, they certainly didn't want a 12. He's not Nature Strip. He wasn't going to just offset it. So barrier one probably allows him to be in that midfield position. Probably 3-back defence would be an ideal spot.
Yeah.
And he'd certainly want overpass to keep going to break the field open a little bit. I just think he's got the best turn of foot in the race.
Yep.
I think we've seen that on a few occasions. We saw that when he won the Golden Eagle.
Yeah,
he was back and wide there, and obviously in the TJ.
His Group 1 Lightning run? I know he didn't win, but his section was over 1,000 metres.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and I mean, he's running the Memsie from Barrier 1. Nolan got him off the fence quite comfortably there. So I think he's very, very hard to beat. Okay, number 2, Private Eye, Nashawilla for Joe Pride, Barrier 9.
Yeah, look, I've never really actually found Private Eye, but I'm starting to really warm to him. Look, he was 3-1, no cover, albeit was a slow pace there first up, but I just really liked how he travelled into it, and when Nashawilla really clicked him up, he just immediately accelerated. He's an adaptable type, and the race shaper, I went right into this, around that moderate to good even tempos, it's a sectional profile that really suits him, where he can show that sharp turn of foot and find that 2 lengths very quickly. So I actually do envisage him probably in that 3-wide line and maybe just quickly sprinting and then being able to maintain that strong finishing speed to the line where these others are coming at him late. I thought his trial was sensational. He held his action really well there. He went through the line full of energy. I think he can go one better this year. He's got, as I said, key attributes, adaptability, acceleration, and with the map, I think the 650 is a little bit of value. And he gets conditions to suit, the good ground.
It does look suitable for him. And he's certainly bounced back to his spring form from last year, where he obviously ran second to Giga Kick and then won the Nature Strip Stakes in really good style. It's just a matter for him where he gets to in the run. If he's in a striking position like that 3-wide trail, you know, sixth or so around the home turn, he's going to be very hard to hold out. I can't see him coming from last or near last and winning. So it's going to be a Nashawilla special for him to win the race, but he's certainly capable of it. Okay, the stablemate, number 3, think about it. Sam Clippard and Joe Pride, 110 from 11, barrier 5.
What do you say about this horse? 10 from 11. Just every time, he just seems to keep improving as well. Look, I know he won the Stradbroke at the handicap, but I think he's definitely going to prove himself at weight for age.
Well, he's won the Kingsford Smith at weight for age.
Yes, so. He's just, I can understand why he's favourite. He's such a consistent type, perfect draw, coming off a win over the same track and distance. He's a bomb-proof horse. He's really hard to beat. I think if he gets the right run at the right time, like all of them are hoping, he's going to be hard to hold out. He actually is the one I think I wish I win will follow the whole way through, if he can.
Yeah, look, totally. I mean, it's hard to know how good they are when they keep winning.
Yeah.
Is there a negative with him? No Premier Stakes winner has won the Everest. I don't know whether that's a negative. There's been 6 Everests. Barrier 5 certainly suits him. I think, you know, drawing barrier 2 last start, he found himself on the fence. He found himself in front a long, long way from home. And we've seen him be a lot better when he's been able to just sort of blend into the race from midfield or so and let down, as he did when he won those 2 Group 1s in Queensland and the takeover target before that. So can't really punch a hole in him. You know, they keep winning. I hate not tipping him on top.
Yeah.
Not only because I know one of the owners of the horse, but
yeah.
He's an undeniable chance.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Number 4, Marzu, Tommy Berry, Peter and Paul Snowden, barrier 11.
Well, the thing about Marzu is I think they have to go forward for it to be winning chance. Look, if it goes back, you're going to have to try and out-sprint the likes of I Wish I Win and think about it. And I just don't think he is at that level because he's come off a setback. I actually do think his shorts run had more merit than the form guide actually reads. But as I said, it's been well documented. He's had that setback. He's trialled well enough, but I did think Overpass trialled better. Mm. So that concerns me. But if they go forward, he can be a place chance.
Yeah, look, it's a little unfair on him to be 60-1 in an Everest, really, Marzu. I mean, he's run 3rd in this race last year. He ran 3rd behind I Wish I Win at Giga Kick in the TJ earlier this year. He ran third behind Giga Kick and Overpass in the Doomben 10,000. Look, his run in the shorts wasn't too bad, sectionally. To the eye, it probably doesn't look that great. Setback doesn't help. If he'd drawn soft, I'd say, look, he could lob into a place. It's going to take all kinds of luck for him to be in the finish here. So, but look, if he runs well, there are races going forward into the rest of the carnival for him. Okay, number five, Overpass. Josh Parr rides Bjorn Baker. Barrier two, the key to the race.
Yeah, I think for me, I didn't really think it mattered where he drew. He was always just going to punch forward, find the front. As I said before, I think going more of that genuine tempo, probably not as fast as he went in the Quokka, but he can really control here. And I can see why a lot of people are going to find him or want to find him. He's such an honest type, especially since he had the gear change, the ultimate gear change, the gelding op. He went to a new level. He only lost a Giga Kick by half a length. So, look, on a dry track, Giga Kick probably would have been favourite leading into this. So, you can understand why he's very likeable. I'm probably more place chance on him. I think he's going to be a massive place chance. But he can definitely win. He's a consistent type. And as we all keep saying, he's going to get all favours.
Well, that's right. He does get a chance. Assuming he breaks away from the gates cleanly, he does get a chance to lead and probably control his own destiny. It's going to be an interesting scene at the race course if he does kick away. I was having a chat with a couple of the owners, a couple of lovely fellas, at the chairman's dinner on Thursday night. And It's going to be quite an event if this horse is clear at 200 metres. It's going to be pandemonium. Look, I'm a little bit the same with you. Probably a place chance. It's going to come down to how well Josh Parr is going to be able to control this race and whether he's allowed to control the race or not. It's going to take a supreme performance if he doesn't get to control it. But if you're back in Overpass, you know you're going to get a big sight.
There is one thing about him. I think he's underrated. A lot of people underrate him.
Yeah, look, he probably is. Okay, number six, Buenos Noches. Dylan Gibbons rides, Matt Smith trains, barrier eight.
Yeah, horse gone to a new level this preparation. He came in on a really strong base figure that just said he'd come back much improved. He stepped again. He's got a really good turn of foot. Look, he was unlucky in the shorts, probably should have gone really close. It's had the quiet trial between runs. I don't mind the 28 days. That's his profile and his history pattern where he produces his best efforts. The only thing is all these other horses have had the run now under their belt. So has he got as much improvement as the others do, such as your Private Eyes? I'm not sure. I'm looking around him, but that's my honest opinion. I'm looking around him. I think he's probably going to start a bit longer.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. He's really burst onto the scene. I know he was Group 1 placed in the spring as a three-year-old up the straight and ran well against the older horses in the autumn, but he's certainly come back a better horse. The win in the Choke County was explosive, giving him weight. And yeah, absolutely, his run in the shorts was excellent. It showed he was up to this level.
Yeah.
Look, it comes down to where he finds himself in that run. He's not going to be in the first half of the field, you would imagine.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of how the race is run and if they can run on. He can, we know he's got a good turn of foot. So he's a chance. I don't have him on top. Number seven is Hawaii 5-0. James McDonald rides, Gain Adrian train, barrier 10.
Yeah, this horse really interests me. He's got a very strong platform now. He's ready to peak. He was honest there first up in the shorts. His run was just full of merit, second up there. He had the pace and bias against where he ran second to think about it. It was hard to make ground that day. He savaged the line, running one of the fastest final 200s of the meeting. And you just go back through his runs, a few preparations. He just takes a bit of time to get fit, and he just looks primed here. McDonald going on. And if there's... I'm backing McDonald from a wide gate, he just finds a way to get in. Or he just gives it a good run. So I'm not too concerned about the gate. I marked him single figures. I can't believe he's $14 and think about it's $460. I know that think about it has improvement to come, but there's just way too much between them for me. This is grand final day, and I think he's a definite bet at 14.
My question mark on him is whether he wants 1,400 metres. I know he's been trained for the Everest, and that's been shown in the two runs back. I think everybody thought he had Think About It cold in the premiere.
Yeah.
So again, might be run of the race scenario for him, where he lands, what J-Mac does, whether he pushes forward and tries to get a spot, or whether he relies on something else pushing forward and tries to ambush them like he attempted to do in the Premier. Look, I could easily have him in my top four. I don't, but I'm not going to say he can't win. I think he's a chance. He's a horse on the way up. He's probably a horse we might see in the Everest again next year.
Yep.
Unless he is that horse that's wanting 1,400 metres. So
yeah,
definite chance, but that's just my only little query.
Yeah, if the others are caught in traffic, the favourites in the inside and he's down the outside, he's going to be very, very strong.
Yep, so. For sure. Number eight, alcohol-free. Craig Williams rides Gay and Adrian again. Barrier 7.
I think it's fair to say it's probably raced below expectations since arriving in Australia, Ray. Look, you go back through his overseas form, if he could ever reproduce that, he's in this race. Like, you draw a line through Artorias, she beat in the July Cup, and I know the July Cup's a 1,200 metre race, but they have to run up that hill.
Yeah.
It's a strong 14, to say the least.
Yeah.
So, look, and then you go back and it's got form around Bayeed, who's the champion over there as well. So you can make cases, but off its two Australian runs, I'm happy to risk her.
Look, her second run was certainly a lot better in the Premier. She probably should have finished a little bit closer. She was sort of held up at a vital stage there. I tried to ask Adrian Bott during the week whether they might try and force the issue with alcohol-free, given she does have that 1,400 metre, 1,600 metre profile, and as you said, the July Cup being a really strong 1,200 metres, like 1,400. Whether her best chance is to make this a strong test. He didn't say yes, he didn't say no. So it'll be interesting to see how Craig Williams plays it. On her best form, I still don't know how she lines up.
Yeah.
On what we've seen of her so far, she's entitled to be odds. Wouldn't completely shock me if she finds herself in a minor placing, but it's hard to entertain her on what we've seen. Number nine, In Secret, Zach Purton, James Cummings, the outside barrier 12.
Yeah, In Secret, she's been one of mine all the way through, since Hawkesbury, all the way back in those days. Look, she's the SP horse. You go back through the last two runs and she's SP'd around that $5 to $4 mark in front of a lot of these horses, and now all of a sudden I think they're $21, so that's corrected itself as it should have. I think actually Wait for Age suits her. Now she finally gets to that 1200 meters, she's just been primed for this race. This has clearly been the target. 1000 meters first up, fantastic. Second up, a little bit flat, but not so much. I think she just needed that run. Now third up with the trial in between. And Zach Purton, the map was my query. If she drew barrier 3, I'd probably have her on top.
Mm. Yeah, how's Zach going to play this one? I actually had a chat with Zach yesterday, and he's obviously going to be guided by what James Cummings and his team want him to do. But on paper, he sees himself probably back in the field.
Yeah.
I feel really bad because I've tipped her in both runs this preparation. And she hasn't run badly at all. Her run in the shorts was fine. Her trial since has been good. 1,200 metres is definitely much better. I wonder whether she's an up-the-straight horse. I know she's run well at Randwick before.
Good point.
She has run well at Randwick before, but her really big performances at this top level have been down the straight. So, look, she can win on her best. There's no doubt about that. I feel bad about leaving her out. Because she's certainly good enough.
I think you made a good point, though. It's where the draw. You got Nash, McDonald and Purton, who are all very intent, aggressive riders from wide gates. So just the first 200 metres is going to be a bit of a spectacle.
Yeah, I can't see Zach pushing her forward. I can't see James Cummings wanting her to dash forward, but we'll wait and see. Number 10 is Espiona. Hugh Bowman rides for Chris Waller, barrier 3.
Yeah, a bit of an X-factor horse. The thing about this is the map. Now, this horse would just be smothered away, just doing absolutely no work. And I can kind of half see it, that if the gaps open up, she just might be able to sprint through them. But she has to be able to settle. I know she's got the inside gate in front of I Wish I Win. So she needs to jump cleanly and get in front of I wish I win. That win last start produced a really high rating last section, good margins. You go back to her first up run, she was strong behind Sunshine in Paris, another fast time race. So I can understand why people can find her, and she's just a little bit of that, I suppose, different form in a way. And Hugh Bowman goes on, so I get it.
Yeah, look, Espiona, we know she's got a great turn of foot. We know she's got plenty of ability. She's really started to live up to it this year, winning three of her last five starts, and that was impressive and expected in the Golden Pendant. I think one of your key points with her is how she jumps.
Yeah.
As you said, if she jumps cleanly, she could find herself on the fence, which would help her, not too far behind the leaders. If she is a little bit patchy away, she could find herself buried, and that might make it hard for her. So it's going to be tricky, and you're going to know your fate a little bit, I think, in the first couple of 100 metres. On face value, I don't know whether she can win an Everest.
Yeah.
But she's got that turn of foot that she could well explode at one point in the race and look the winner.
Yeah.
So it'd be very interesting to see how she lines up, because, as I said, she's promised so much, and now she's reached her opportunity to show it. We'll go to number 11, Shinzo, the Golden Slipper winner. Kieran McAvoy, he doesn't know how to win an Everest, rides for Chris Waller. Barrier 6.
Honestly, this horse, trying to price this horse first up and now has done my head in. It's clearly the hardest horse to assess on the whole program again. And the market was still happy to send him around a $6 chance in a Golden Rose being first up. It all just comes down to, and obviously he was lame in that race and just had too much to do from the gate. But yeah, if you can get back to that Golden Slipper win, like, it's in this race, the late strength that showed in the slipper and how it held its action, like, it's there, and it's worth so much money, and they're here. Like, they're happy to, they're not risking it, you know what I mean? Like, they're not running. Like, he could easily be in the barn. So I don't know. I don't know what to do with this horse, Ray. Can you help me? The way I'm handling it is, let the computers give me a lean on it.
Okay. Yeah, look, he's an interesting one. He clearly has been set for the Everest to some degree, or he wouldn't be running in it. His Golden Rose run, look, it has to have an element of forgive, obviously. His sectionals were okay. He's never going to be never in the race from where he wound up. Where he's going to be in this run is hard to work out as well, because in general he's been second half of the field. His debut was in a five horse race, so you can't take any line from that. His second start, he drew barrier 2 and landed better than midfield, but then in the pago and the slipper he's been midfield or worse. And you can't get any guide on him from the Golden Rose because he drew the outside. So I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, he wouldn't be in the race if Chris Waller and Coolmore didn't think he was capable. His trial behind Overpass was fine. I didn't find him in the slipper, where he did start $16. Look. A three-year-old winning this race is not impossible this year. I think it's we've sat here and made a case for just about every horse, and that tells you it's an even, but, you know, good quality field. So if you've got an above-average three-year-old, and as we saw with Giga Kick last year, Shinzo's arguably done more than Giga Kick had, even though he was unbeaten. Look, he's a chance, but if he wins, I'll lose.
Yeah, same. From an opinion base, I'm risking it.
Yep. And we rounded out with number 12, Cylinder, Zach Lloyd, James Cummings, barrier 4, Blinker's first time.
Yeah, Blinker's first time. It's an interesting one. And look, as you said, it's got the three-year-old profile, but I just think, for me personally, it's been a bit overplayed. Here with Cylinder, I marked him much longer, but he's the horse that's going to get all favours. He's coming off a really good effort there in the Golden Rose. He was 3 wide out on a limb throughout, working in a genuine tempo and never shirked the task. So I can understand why people want to find him off the video, but just off the figures as well, taking that into account, the 850 or the 950 just seemed too short for me.
Okay. I tried really hard to talk myself into Cylinder as my top selection, and I didn't quite get there. As I said before with Shinzo, I think this year being a good quality field, but an even field, presents an opportunity for a three-year-old if they're good enough.
Yeah.
Now, Cylinder's come in here with an amazingly good performance in the Golden Rose, a get-out-of-jail performance in the Run to the Rose, and a fall-in performance first up. So he's obviously building.
Yeah.
Whether the Golden Rose was his grand final.
Yeah.
And he's going to just sort of back off a little bit from that, or whether he can go again, I guess, is the question. If he jumps as well as he did in the Golden Rose, it'll be interesting to see how Zach Lloyd handles him, because it'll put him right on the outside of overpass, and then it's a matter of whether he wants to slot in or whether he wants to face the breeze. So,
just to add another one in this, in the Run to the Rose, he was a little bit slow out. Blinkers, yeah. First time. Imagine if he's slow out, then all things change.
Well, that's right. Look, I think he can win the race, but so can most of the rest of them. Yeah. So
you got to take on some, and for me, he's one I have to take on.
Okay, so what's your numbers?
My numbers are definitely going to be Private Eye number 2 on top. I quite like Private Eye. I'm also going to back the 7 Hawaii 5-0. I can't leave out I Wish I Win, and also the consistency of Think About It as well. So it has to go in number 3 as well to Think About It.
Okay, I've gone with I Wish I Win, number 1 on top. Just again, that turn of foot aspect. If he gets into the clear at the right time, I think he's able to pick them up. I've got 12 Cylinder in for second. Can't leave Think About It out. Same thinking there, you. And I'm going to throw Buenos Noches number 6 in.
Yep.
It would be a bit of a popular win, I think, if he happened to win, and he's certainly good enough. I hate leaving a few of these others out, like, yeah. You know, Private Eye, Overpass, Hawaii 5-0, In Secret. Such a deep race this year. I know there's been a little bit of talk about how, you know, it's not the great quality that it should be because horses like Imperatriz and Giga Kick aren't there. Well, Giga Kick's injured, so he couldn't be there anyway.
Yeah.
And clearly the Imperatriz camp don't want to be there.
Yeah.
So there's not much you can do about that. I think it's an excellent field. It's a great race. And hopefully we can get a winner. Okay, so that's the Tab Everest. There are 9 other races on the day and plenty of other race meetings around. Nick, absolutely. Do you have a best bet on the program?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a fantastic bet. I think it should be odds on, clearly. Randwick, race 3, number 4, Arctic Glamour. That will be majority of my day there at Randwick race, so I'm keen to bet up on it.
Yeah, she was really good first up, wasn't she? I'm with the Godolphin camp for my best bet of the day. Tom Kitten in race 4. I just thought he was sensational in Dulcify. He wasn't entitled to keep going. He had a 3 and 4 wide run, which was a bit strange considering he drew barrier 4. They strung out a long way and he was facing the breeze. And then he had to do some carting the horses up to the field. And he was still running them down at the end of that mile. He's got barrier 3 this time. He's going to be right on the back of them. I would imagine they'll probably be a decent tempo again because similar horses are in the race. And I think this is his opportunity to cement favouritism for the Spring Champion Stakes. So that's my best on the day. Do you like anything else anywhere?
Yeah, actually, I do want to back Renaissance Woman in the last as well. I think it's around $7. I think that's a really easy bet for me to have. And if you're trying to get some cash before tomorrow, let's go to Coffs Harbour, race 6, number 13, Sinyani, for Brett Kavanagh and Matt McGurran. I think that's a good bet as well. So recapping, the best bet will be race 3, number 4, Arctic Glamour. And my Everest numbers are 2, 7, 1, and 3, Private Eye goes on top.
Just before we wrap up, let's have a quick discussion about the King Charles.
Yep.
The third stakes, the Wait for Age. Mr. Brightside, the clear favourite with a nice little picket fence against his name. I really tried to talk myself into Fangirl here.
Yeah.
Barrier 2 for her. I might see her settle just that little bit closer than she did in the 7 stakes. She had a lot of work to do in that on that day from barrier 10, getting a long way back. Zaki sat outside of the lead. Think About It sat behind Zaki. Think About It ran him down. She ran into third place. I ended up going with Mr. Brightside. I know he's the favourite and he's easy to find.
Yeah.
But he's just gone to a new level, this preparation. He was far too good for Alligator Blood there in the Maccabi Diva. He sat wide and won the Memsey, running down, I wish I win. He's clearly come back a better horse since winning the Doncaster. And I think the way the race looks to map, he should get into a nice spot. How did you see it?
Yeah, look, I couldn't get away from him as well. Mr. Brightside, I reckon majority of the nation will be on him through multis and everything. But it's one of those races where I'm going to have to wait because I don't really want to take the 5-4, 220, but I couldn't back against him.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We've got the World Pool operating as well, so you know, hopefully having Zach Purton riding Light Infantry Man might deflate his price a little bit.
That's who I wanted to find, but I think he likes to sting out.
Yeah, fair enough. Look, well, it's going to be a great day to have Everest Day. It always is. The weather's done its thing. We've got great fields. Hopefully, for everyone concerned out there, we can back a few winners. But, just enjoy the day.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it, Ray. Good luck to everyone having a bet.